are the only ones that are entitled, amen, to the full measure of Holy Ghost apostolic revival that God has promised in His Word. Amen. If I read the Bible, the only time God ever gave anointing, amen, was for the advancement of the true one God message in the earth. A lot of people claiming a lot of pseudo-revival, a lot of pseudo-evangelism that's supposed to be happening, but I'm glad to be among people and know the truth of God's Word. Amen? I'm glad to be among people that I see by your appearance. Amen. You believe in holiness and separation from the world. Don't in any way think that that's an impediment to revival. That's the only entitlement to revival that there is in the Scripture. Amen. And it's so easy, and different churches are at different stages. I well remember going to Burbank some 18 years ago and having the smallest church in the section. And I well remember the feeling and the attitude that said, I am going to preach the same message that I've always preached. I'm going to live it. I'm going to believe God for revival, Holy Ghost outpouring of His Spirit. And thank God He has granted that. And I'm not qualified nor claiming to be qualified on what I'm talking to you about here, but God's been very, very, very good to us. Amen. God has blessed our church. He's blessed us with 4 daughter churches that we have that are averaging over 50 apiece. He has blessed us in a tremendous way financially. I told our church, and I'm not saying this to give me credit, I'm saying this to encourage a home missionary pastor here that's preaching truth and standing for truth. Amen. And it's hardship sometime. I told our church at our annual business meeting, I said, I just read in the Christianity or Your Church magazine the breakdown of the financial stratas of churches across America. I said, nobody would believe if they drove by this corner that they're looking at a church whose giving last year was in the top 4% of all churches in America. I'm telling you, friend, if you preach the truth, stand for the truth, God will reward you. God will reward you. The Almighty God will stand behind you. Hallelujah! Aren't you glad to be a part of His church? Clap unto the Lord. Hallelujah! 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 Praise God. From the book of Judges, the first chapter, I'm going to read to you there. Judges chapter number 1. Let's begin, if you will, with me at Judges chapter 1, verse number 21. Amen. Judges, the first chapter. I believe this one's on. Chapter 1, verse 21 through 29. Follow with me, please. My, didn't we enjoy a tremendous message last night from Brother Jones? Amen. Bless my heart, and I appreciated that good preaching of the Word of God. Judges chapter 1 and verse number 21, the Bible said, and the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem. But the Jebusites, amen, the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem unto this day. And the house of Joseph, they also went up against Bethel. And the Lord was with them. And the house of Joseph sent to describe Bethel. Now the name of the city before was Luz. And the spies saw a man come forth out of the city, and they said unto him, show us, we pray thee, the entrance into the city, and we will show thee mercy. And when he showed them the entrance into the city, they smote the city with the edge of the sword, but they let go the man and all his family, and the man went into the land of the Hittites and built a city, and called the name thereof Luz, which is the name thereof unto this day. Then notice verse 27 and 29, because all of us would have thought when we read the house of Joseph that that was referring to Manasseh and Ephraim. You don't have to be a Bible scholar to know that. But verse 27 said, neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants of Bethshean and her towns, nor Taanach and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Dor, her towns, nor the inhabitants of Ibleam and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Megiddo, her towns, but the Canaanites would dwell in that land. Verse 29, neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwelt in Gezer among them. I want to preach to you from simple little phrase in verse number 24. Show us the entrance into the city. Show us the entrance into the city. You don't have to live in a metropolitan area like Los Angeles to have a burning passion in your heart. I said, my God, whatever size town, community that you have called us to and work in, we want to find the entrance to this city. Amen. Would you pray with me right now? God, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking and believing and trusting you, God, by your beautiful power and spirit. Oh, mighty God, speak to us, Lord. Speak to us, God. Speak to us, Lord. Oh, God. According to your word, Master, I trust and believe you and thank you for it, God, in the glorious name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. The first chapter of the book of Judges is, by and large, one of the most depressing reads that you will ever read in all of your life. To take and to read this chapter and to realize that Joshua is dead and the elders that had outlived Joshua are now dead also. And what they had left behind for the tribes and the various different ones of the children of God in the land of Canaan to do really boiled down to a few mop-up operations that needed to be done, some business that needed taken care of, and some conquering that they had seen firsthand how that the conquering was done when they first came into the land. And now it was God's instruction for them to go forth, finish up the job that had been started for them, and get the work done for the glory of God. But over and over again, that chapter tells us the abysmal defeats of tribe after tribe after tribe. It doesn't pull any punches. It doesn't make any bones about it. It makes it very plain and enumerates the tribes that had God's calling, that had the purpose and the plan and the promises of God as to what would be and should be done through them. But into a block wall, one after another, they ran until, I'm telling you, it gets depressing when you read the verses about the children of Judah, about the children of Benjamin, about those of Zebulun and Asher, and on and on, Naphtali, and the children of Dan. All throughout the chapter, it gets darker and darker and darker. A promise from the Almighty God, and absolutely no fulfillment at all. They were unable to do what God had called and commissioned them and foreordained for them to do in their cities that were there. Amen. But there's one bright light that shines out in that chapter. Hallelujah. And I'm not going to drag you 10,000 leagues beneath the sea today. Amen. But I want to talk about that bright light that's in that chapter. The Bible plainly admits that none of the tribes were capable of getting done what God had commissioned them to do. But the Bible said, hallelujah, there were some of the house of Joseph. Hallelujah. There were some of the house of Joseph that not only had the promise, but stepped out and did exactly what God had asked and called of them to do. We're living in the day and the time, my friend, where if you look at the circumstances around you, it can be daunting and discouraging to see, my friend. I just happened to be in the Los Angeles area, and when I realized and took an inventory that not one church that I know of that preaches the whole gospel, not one church, home missions wise, in the last 25 years has been able to go into the LA area and secure their own building. When you realize statistics like that, we can all throw our hands up in frustration and say, it can't be done. It can't be done. If Judah couldn't do it, I sure can't get it done. If Naphtali couldn't do it, there's no hope for me getting it done. Amen. If those that were wiser and brighter and smarter and deeper pockets behind them than what I've got couldn't get the job done, we might as well fold up our tents and forget about really getting done what God has called us to do. But before you do that, friend, hang on just a minute. Hallelujah. Amen. There were they of the house of Joseph that didn't say, if you can't beat them, might as well join them. Hallelujah. Anybody going to help me preach today? Yeah. There were they of the household of Joseph that said, really, it's immaterial to us exactly what anybody else has or has not done. Amen. Our God has made a promise that we have made it personal. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, he made corporate promises to all of Israel and corporate promises to the tribes. But we have decided that we've got a handle on a personal promise that God made to us. And we are going after it. Hallelujah. 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 You say, well, I still don't understand, Brother White. Well, turn over with me, if you will, to the book of Genesis. It might just be a little bit enlightening to some of you to realize the 48th chapter of the book of Genesis. This is the story. Jacob's on his deathbed. Amen. He's wanting to pass out the blessings to the various children that are there. And Jacob in verse number 2, one told Jacob and said, behold, thy son Joseph cometh unto thee. And Israel strengthened himself. Amen. He strengthened himself, set upon the bed, and Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared to me at Luz. Remember that name? We read it a little bit earlier. God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me and said unto me, behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee and make thee of a multitude of people and will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. Verse number 5, and now thy two sons Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt, hear it closely, before I came unto thee into Egypt, are mine. As Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. Verse 6, and thy issue, which thou begettest after them shall be thine, and shall be called after the name of their brethren in their inheritance. Hallelujah. Now get the picture, my friend. Amen. Jacob is on his deathbed, and he's wanting to give a blessing unto all of the house of Joseph. Hallelujah. I am convinced that God wants to give revival to all of the house of Joseph. But the only ones that are going to get it are those that pay the price. They're not getting it because they're named Ephraim. They're not getting it because they're named Manasseh. They're getting it only because they took a hold of the promise and said, "It's mine. It's mine. If God said it, that settles it. It's mine." He said, "I'm telling you," he said, "your two sons that were here in Egypt, they still are entitled to the promises that are there." He said, "But also your sons that are to be born after I got here." After Grandpa came back into their life. After the influence of the previous generation was back on a day-to-day basis affecting and influencing those boys. Though nobody ever knows them by name. Though nobody ever calls them, and you couldn't tell me any of their names either. He said, those sons are entitled to the blessing of the house of Joseph. They're entitled to it. Amen. Amen. Oh, what are you saying, Brother White? Well, just hang on just a minute with me. Amen. Joseph's two boys that were raised in Egypt, they were heavily influenced by Egypt. Heavily. Read a few verses later. They're so drastically influenced by Egypt that when Joseph brings them to his dad's bedside, even though his dad had lived there now for quite some time, he looks up and asks his son, "Who are these?" They look like Egyptians. They were dressed like Egyptians. Every part about them did not identify in any way with that previous generation that knew and understood, amen, what was required out of you to be a child of God and to be an heir to the promises of God. If you think just because you baptize in Jesus' name, you're an heir to the promises of God, I got news for you. If you think just because you believe in one God that they're automatically yours, I got an example for you in the Scripture. Oh, yeah. Amen. Here they were. They looked, they acted like they were obviously influenced by the Egyptian lifestyle. Daddy tried, but all Daddy had was a limited influence in their life. I'm telling you, friend, I've got boys too. Amen. But I'm telling you, it's not enough for me to say, "Boys, I only want you influenced by your daddy." Because your daddy might have been influenced more by Egypt than what he realizes. Your daddy might have been more affected by the world around him than what he knows. I want you to tag back in to a generation that is back there before, that knows not Egypt, that lived it, that believed it, that preached it, that stood upon it. Oh God, if we want this apostolic revival of the end time, we're going to have to tag back in, amen, with an old generation and get it back in our hearts. Hallelujah. 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 Thank God. You need to stop and ask yourself. I did it recently on a mountain camp out with my church. I stopped and asked myself as I saw everybody doing all of their things. I asked myself, what would Clyde Haney think about this? And many of you, knew what it was like, that influence that was there. What would David Gray say about this? It ain't enough for me and my generation to figure it out, whether it's okay or it's not okay, whether it's right or it's not right. We need, if we're going to have the kind of revival that God wants to give to the house of Joseph, we need them elders. Thank God for elders like Brother Paul Price that would stand at our youth convention this last year and tell our teenagers, if you turn on that television set, you're a hypocrite. You're a hypocrite. You're a hypocrite. Hallelujah. 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 Be seated. Be seated. God saw something inside of old Ephraim and Manasseh that was so fully polluted with the environment around them. As a matter of fact, he later on mentions what's wrong with old Ephraim. He said the problem with Ephraim is he has mixed himself among the people, and strangers have devoured his strength. He lived in that cosmopolitan society down in Egypt so long that he felt comfortable in both worlds. He felt comfortable in all environments. Hallelujah. I'm preaching about revival. I'm preaching about entrance to the city. I'm telling you, I don't need the favor of the ministerial alliance in my city. You don't need Trinitarian singers singing on your platform. We don't need to mix ourselves among the people. Strangers will devour your strength. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Amen, amen. You say, well, whoo, Brother White, you're preaching about entrance. Yeah, I'm going to tell you, the guys that got it, the guys that had the revival, the guys, that claimed the city that God promised to them. Oh, hallelujah. Amen, amen. Woo. They wouldn't mix up with the oneness charismatics. You say, well, brother, if they believe in oneness. I got news for you. If that's all the criteria, then the devil himself is welcome on your pulpit. Because he's the most staunch oneness person there ever was. He's 1,000% convinced that there's only one God. He's got that down pat, my friend. Oh, yeah. He said, Manasseh, he's that guy that half of the tribe decided to settle on the other side of Jordan. He's that fence rider. He's that guy that when Jacob came to give the blessing, remember, he switched his hands around. He said, I know good and well, he's the firstborn, but he don't deserve the blessing. I see some things in him, and I sense some things and realize them. He ain't going to get the blessing. Hallelujah. Woo! Don't get mad at me. Are they still throwing rotten tomatoes? Up in farm country when you preach? Hallelujah. But of the house of Joseph, the Bible said that there were some other sons that were born to Joseph.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They were born in the same Egyptian society, but they had the influence of a godly grandpa that taught them from the time they were babies, we ain't going that way. We ain't living like they live. We're choosing a different trail. We are God's people, and we deserve the blessings of God. Ooh, hallelujah. 700 years later, Ephraim wasn't getting it done. Manasseh wasn't getting it done. It wasn't happening for Judah. Heard people say, well, that's all we need for revival in our church. If we could get our people praising, if we could just get them praising. Well, I'm all for praising. You come to my church, you'll see one wild bunch of maniacs there. But if you think praise alone will bring the blessing, I got news for you. I got news for you. Judah couldn't get it done. The rest of them couldn't get it done. Levi didn't get it done. But there were those of the house of Joseph. 700 years ago. Amen. There was a promise that's been passed down to us. That told us our great, great, great grandfather said that God appeared to him in Luz. Right here. In Luz. And the Almighty God said that this city belonged to His seed forever, forever. They said, I'll tell you what, amen, we're taking God at His word. We're taking God at His promise. We're taking God. We've lived right. We've done right. We've been obedient to God and the things we've been taught. We are going after that city. Hallelujah. Now the Bible said that of the house of Joseph, they sent two spies. And they went around that city named Luz. Look it up. It means hazelnut. Obviously, you think your city's a hard nut to crack too. Yeah. Hazelnut. The Jewish sages say it was named that. Because hard up against the wall of that city was a gigantic hazelnut tree. And as in all cities in Bible times, there was not just a main entrance, but there was a secret, private escape route and an entrance and an exit from out of that city. And that hazelnut tree had a hollowed out spot, from what I've read, inside between it and the back of that wall, that a guy a whole lot skinnier than me could suck it up and slide inside of there and shimmy his body down a little shaft until there was a tunnel that went underneath the city and found them the entrance into that city. The two spies of the house of Joseph found a man one day out in the field, headed to his city. And the Bible said they took a hold of that man. They said, good buddy, we want to say this in as nice a way as possible. Show us the entrance to that city. You want to live? I mean, you know, you ever want to see Mama again? Yeah? You ever want to be alive again? Show us the entrance to that city. Oh, we got to find the entrance inside of that city. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the Bible said that that man that they found finally recapitulated and gave them the instruction as to where the hidden entrance was unto the city. And they let the man live. And the Bible said that they took hazelnut, the hard nut to crack, and they renamed it Bethel, the house of God. Woo!
Hallelujah. They took it and said, it's ours now. God made us a promise and we have paid the price and now we ain't sitting on our little do-nothings and saying, if nobody else does it, we can't do it either. They took the city out of a passion and a spiritual desire that was in their heart. Let me preach it to you today, my friend. Our cities have the same exact game plan as what that city of Luz did. Amen. I hate to mess with your thinking. Amen. But the key to your city is not another program. It is not more soul-winning tools hatched out for you. It's not another building. It's not any of the inanimate objects that you and I think it is. But the key to the entrance of the city, amen, is one of the sinner inhabitants of that city. Hallelujah. One of the lost souls of that city that you met where? You found them out in the field. You found them in the field. Amen. And they became the entrance to that city. Oh, have we ever been fed a pack of lies? We believe that we got to study all these latest books and manuals and to get the user-friendly churches that we need. We need all of the things and the bells and the whistles, just like everybody else has it, in order for it to work for the apostolic church. I read a little clipping that was posted in a Colorado church. Amen. And it said, support groups that meet weekly. Sunday, 12 noon, Cocaine Anonymous, the main floor. 6 p.m., Al Anon, second floor. 6 p.m., Alcoholics Anonymous, meets in the basement. Monday, Debtors Anonymous, meets in the basement. 5:30, 6:30, Codependence of Sex Addicts Anonymous, meets on the second floor. 7 p.m., Adult Children of Alcoholics, meet on the second floor. 8 p.m., Alateen meets in the basement. Tuesday, Survivors of Incest Anonymous meet in the basement at 8 p.m. Wednesday, 5:30 p.m., Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous meet in the basement. Thursday, 7:30 p.m., Women's Cocaine Anonymous meets on the second floor. Friday, Adult Overeaters Anonymous. You guessed it, they meet in the kitchen. No. Oh, yeah, got to get them all right. Back to Sunday, Self-Abusers Anonymous. Meet 12 p.m. on the second floor. We've been fed a bill of goods to try to convince us that the entrance into the city has everything to do with everything except the thing it really has something to do with. Except the fact of finding a sinner out in the field. Hallelujah. Somebody that's hungry for what we have got. Hallelujah. Amen. You came too late to tell me that any other plan will work, my friend. Study the pattern of the New Testament church and you will find the battle cry over and over was show us the entrance to the city. At Samaria, Acts chapter 8. Amen. It was an immoral woman that Jesus had met at the well that had five ex-husbands. That was the key to the entrance of that city. Hallelujah. When Philip got there, it was Simon the sorcerer. Oh yeah, God will even use a hypocrite to get you entrance into the city.
at Caesarea. Hallelujah. It was Cornelius, a devout religious man, that was the key to getting in the city. At Lystra, it was a crippled man that had never walked before, that when God healed him, that was the entrance to that city. Ooh, hallelujah. At Thyatira, my friend, the first convert on the continent of Europe was a successful businesswoman named Lydia. Don't tell me it's just the down and outers that are the key to the city. It's the whole spectrum of humanity. But somebody from the house of Joseph that had to say, God, we ain't giving up until we have revival God's way. God's way. God's way. We're doing it just like the book said. Whew. At Philippi, it was a city worker, the city jailer, that said, what must I do to be saved? Do any of you know any city workers in your town? Lift your hand up if you do. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. They might be like Philippi was. That one that you know might be the one that's the entrance to your city. At Corinth, it was a denominal pastor, the chief ruler of the synagogue. Call him by whatever name you want, friend. Amen. There he was. Oh, hallelujah. You said, Brother White, amen. You told us that, you know, we don't need their favor. No, but if you live right, if you do right. I had a denominal pastor the other day tell me, he said, let me tell you something, Pastor White. You are the only pastor in this whole city that I trust. You don't have to invite their singing group over to your church to win their respect. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I got a call not long ago from Elder H.H. Buxton. He called me up. He's never been to our church ever. He called me up. He said, Brother White, he said, have you been witnessing to a denominational preacher in your city? I said, yes, sir, I have. He said, don't say anything more. Don't say anything more. He said, God gave me a dream the other night. And in this dream, you were witnessing to that denominational pastor, giving your best to lay it all out to him. And you walked away in the dream, scratching your head, saying, looks like he doesn't want it. Looks like he won't receive it. Looks like he won't. And said, in the dream, God woke me up and said, you call Phil White and tell him that that man is a whole lot closer to accepting the truth than what he thinks he is. Woo! Hallelujah! You know what I did? I got on the telephone and said, when can you meet for lunch again, brother? When can you meet for lunch? Hey, man, we're going over one God again. We're going over Jesus' name baptism again. Hey, man, we're going over what the Bible teaches again. Woo! The entrance to the city, amen, is an unsaved person that you find in the field. Acts chapter 19 at Ephesus, amen, it was a small men's group from the local Baptist church. Woo-hoo! At Paul. Met, hallelujah, at the coast of Ephesus and said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Hallelujah. Amen. Let me tell you, there's something about old Paul. Hallelujah. He was turning over every stone in every city, every place he went, looking everywhere he could. You know what was in his heart? Amen. I'm going to find the entrance to this city. I'm going to find it no matter where, no matter how. No matter how long it takes, God wants to burn that kind of faith in the heart of every saint that's in this building tonight. That said, my God, we're going to find the entrance to our city. Ooh, hallelujah. We're going to find it. We're going to find it. Let me burst your little bubble for a minute. When you get really hungry, looking for the entrance to the city, the first sign that shows that you really mean business is when you start to become colorblind. Yeah. 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 I know the mixture of the population of California. I know it real, real well. And you can't tell me we're pleasing the Almighty God if our churches don't mirror the communities that we live in. Amen. 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 You say, oh, you don't understand, this is redneck country up here, Brother White. Oh, yeah, I know. I know all about redneck country. All my family roots are from Oklahoma. Many generations of prejudice. Many generations of hate-filled words and jokes that they spread and talked about. Anybody that wasn't the same color of skin as what you and I are. Oh, let me preach to you a little bit. Come on, come on. Anybody going to help me preach? Can you imagine? Can you imagine those two spies from the house of Joseph finding a man and the man didn't speak Hebrew? Did that ever dawn on you? And he speaks kind of broken language to him. Can't you talk our language? Go on back. We'll find somebody that speaks our language. Brother, when you want entrance to that city, we'll do it in sign language if we have to. You... wall, gate, entrance. Woo! Hallelujah. When you get desperate enough that you want real apostolic revival to come to your city, buddy. Red, yellow, black, white, Russian, Korean, Mexican, it doesn't matter. Show me the entrance to the city. You're a soul, and I've got to get in through you. Hallelujah. Be seated. Amen. A couple came to visit our church, and they were from South Central Los Angeles. You know anything about that? That's where the Watts riots took place. That's where the Rodney King riots took place. That's where the next big riot will take place. Brother, I mean, it's bad business down there. Precious black lady came and I didn't get a chance to shake her hand, so I ran out around the building, caught them in the car. They were already out in the street. I stuck my hand in the window and said, how glad we were to have you come. Thank you for coming. I said, you know what? We liked it. I said, my wife and I would be honored to come to your house and teach you a home Bible study. She said, Pastor, we live in South Central. I said, I'd just soon teach one there as Beverly Hills. Hallelujah. Said, you don't understand, it's not safe. We get off of work and it's dark. And it's not safe for somebody of your color to be in our neighborhood after dark. I said, that's okay. If you'll just invite us, we'll be there. God will take care of us. She said, are you serious? I said, sure. And my wife went, brother. They met us out at the curbside. The President of the United States didn't have better Secret Service protection. That mama and her husband, them little kids all gathered around us, taking us up them old rickety steps, amen, to that tenement project apartment house that was there. We got in. Oh, man, I thought it was neat. Amen. Oh, yeah, yeah. When you really want in the city bad, You don't care if you get a little dirt on your tie on your way digging under the wall of the city. You don't care where it's at. You don't care. All that matters is you've got to get it. You've got to get it. Hallelujah. Gunshots started going on. Pow, 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 pow. Helicopters with lights started coming over that neighborhood. Sirens started blaring. She looked at me. She said, Pastor, would you mind sliding down just a little lower to finish this lesson? I said, well, why's that? She said, your head's right at the level of that window right there with no curtains on it. And them bullets can ricochet. I said, sure, I'm part Indian. I'd love to sit down in the floor. Amen. The rest of the lesson and teach it to you from the floor. Woo! Hallelujah. Going through, amen, about Noah's day, amen, about your need of salvation, about your need of coming to God. Hallelujah. It wasn't long till the whole family is baptized in Jesus' name, full of the Holy Ghost, full of the power of the Almighty God. Amen. Oh, house of Joseph, the promise is yours. The promise is yours. Hallelujah. 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 I don't want to take too much time. Amen. Hadn't been going that long. Let me tell you, Spanish-speaking people live all among us. First Spanish-speaking lady we won to God, she received the Holy Ghost. Enough for thinking your sermon did it. Didn't understand a word of English. Whew. Come up to the altar, hungry, repentant. Came upon her precious old lady. Amen. I looked at her week after week after week, sitting on those pews, and all she could do is juke and shake while we was singing and praising, worshiping God, and just sit there and read out of her Spanish Bible while the preaching's going on. She didn't understand a word. I went to her one day, and I said, oh, Sister Seha, I said, I feel so bad. I said, you know, I've checked it out, and there's a church not too far from here that's a Spanish-speaking church. And I've checked it out for you, and I believe it's a good, straight church. And through an interpreter, I said, I'd like you to go there. I want you to be saved, and I know you need to hear the Word of God, and on and on. Would you go next Sunday? I've called ahead. I've talked to the pastor over there that you're going to be coming to visit. And she just kind of hung her head and looked at me, and she went. Amen. Sunday after that, she was back. She had this hangdog look on her. I came up to her, got an interpreter. I said, Sister Seha, I said, listen, I said, how did it go? Is that a church that you'd like to go to and attend? And big old tears rolling down her cheeks of this grandma. And in Spanish, amen, she said, I will, Pastor, if you say so. But she said, this church is my home. This is where I was born. Woo. Oh, God. I've never felt so much condemnation in all of my life. I said, Sister Seha, you're right. Forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me for sending you away. I went to God in prayer that I promise you God hit me over the head with a sledgehammer. He told me in prayer, God impressed me, said, son, if you had a daughter born into your natural family that was deaf, would you give her away? Or would you learn enough sign language to show her you love her?
a bunch of nonsense of thinking that we want entrance to our city. Amen. With prejudice and racism in our hearts. Brother, if you want it, you go for it. Whoever, whenever, wherever. Gotta find them. Gotta find them. Gotta get in the city. Gotta get in the city. Amen. Amen. A year ago at our anniversary service, if your anniversaries are anything like ours, it's a real busy time for the pastor and his wife. And my wife's got a bunch of things that she's supposed to be helping me with and doing, and she drops off the radar screen. I can't reach her on her cell phone. She's got it turned off. And I mean, I'm frustrated. Several hours on a Saturday are gone, and we got a bunch of ground to cover. Finally, she calls me up. She says, honey, I can't wait till you get to church tomorrow, and you'll get to meet Lucy. I said, Lucy, where are you at? Where you been? What you been doing anyway? She said, oh, you'll be proud of me. Did you meet her down at the garment district or what? She said, no. I walked in the doors of the church house, and this girl said she's 18 years old. She came crying, screaming into the doors of our church. And she was begging and pleading. She's living in with her boyfriend a few blocks down from the church. And he's having a bad trip on drugs. And she's petrified, asking somebody, please. She said they had driven by our church before and thought maybe she could find somebody there to help them. Amen. He said she's coming to church tomorrow. Her and her boyfriend both, they're coming. And they'll be there. I said, oh, thank God. It's anniversary service. And brother, oh, God have mercy. Amen. Lucy, as I used to hear my dad say, didn't have on enough clothes to pad the crutch of a canary. Brother, she was a sight. But if you think she was bad, you ought to have seen that boyfriend of hers. He was still on the trip, brother. He hadn't come down. Amen. He was high as a kite. And there they were at the altar. Amen. Working and weaving back and forth. And I'm thinking, oh God, all you ladies go pray over here with this gal. And us guys, I'll try to get the devil out of this one over here. I looked at our special speaker there. I said, look at that couple there. You think they got a chance of making it? Amen. He said, well, I don't know. If she dumps him, she might make it. I don't know about him. I said, man, I was thinking the same thing. I got home. God worked me over. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me tell you, friend, a year later, no, they're not even together. But they're both in the church. They're both full of the Holy Ghost. They're both on fire for God. They're both loving God. I'm telling you, there is an entrance to the city. There is an entrance to the city. If you want it bad enough, if you want it bad enough, and you're of the house of Joseph, I'm sorry. Stand with me. I'm going to conclude. I'm sorry, Brother Ephraim, but it's not for you. You watch. You ain't going to get it. I'm sorry, Brother Manasseh, but it's not for you either. Hang out. You say, oh, I'm not sure. I know churches that have compromised and let up and all that. And look at their numbers. Well, just be a little logical. If 10 years ago they had 10 families that didn't have television in their church, now 10 years later they still only got 10 families that don't have television. I don't care what they're running in Sunday school. They ain't having God's revival. Ephraim, you ain't going to get it. Manasseh, you ain't going to get it. But old house of Joseph, that were born and raised up on the knees of the influence of the generation before us that taught you how to live, that taught you how to behave not as an Egyptian, but as a child of God. There is a phenomenal open door of opportunity to claim the promises of God for Holy Ghost apostolic revival in your city, in your city, in my city. Hallelujah. I wonder how many saints of God there are here right now. I'm not going to take any more time. But I wonder how many saints of God there are here. They'll say, Brother White, by God's grace, I'm leaving this service today with a determination. I'm not waiting for my pastor to do it or anybody else, but with a determination that I, as one of the house of Joseph, that have lived uprightly before God, I am going to find a sinner in the field that will become the entrance to my city. If you're willing to make that commitment, lift your hand to God right now and ask God to lead you. Ask God to guide you. Ask God to direct you. Ask Him to do it right now. God, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.